Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Nun Beis. Unfortunately, we're picking up way back on the Aleph Nun Beis. This is going to be a tough day. Alright, so I think the Rav left off. The fifth wide line at the end of the line. So we say, Glima Mesiach Chashinan, Delo Mesiach Le Chashinan. So we're talking about here that if a bird were to bang into something, would that cause the damage of risuk evarim, of shaking the bones, and that would require us to wait 24 hours and then check, or if it walked, then not. But so we talk about if you have a glima, is like a garment, mesiach, Rashi explains, it's stretched by like some stakes or pegs, so it's stretched taut. And if the bird flies into that chashinan, then we have to worry that it's a trefa. The lomaisiach, but if it wasn't, you just had a cloth and it wasn't tied tightly, lo chashinan, you wouldn't have to worry because when the bird bangs into it, it's not that much of a bang. Of umuufaf lo chashinan, uf umuufaf le chashinan. That if this Rashi explains, even if it was stretched tight, but if you had a sheet that was folded and uf umuufaf means folded and folded. Because I don't know that it necessarily requires double folding, but if it's folded and stretched, Rashi explains that doesn't really, it's not possible to make that too tight that it would be a concern. Isla umakavi kitri chashina and lamakavi kitri le chashina. So if you have a net and the bird flies into the net, so if it's a very tight net that has, how is a net constructed? It's constructed of knots. Knots are tougher than the strings that are there. So if it has a lot of knots that the bird bangs into it, that those hard knots could cause it to become a trefa. But if the knots are reasonably distant from one another, so it's not going to get that same level of hard impact, then we're not worried. Kisna the Ovid betune chashinon. So we say as follows, that if you have kisna is flax, that was made, betune, Rashi says, pishanasi chavilas chavilas, so he made them into bundles. So we say as follows, that, if you have flax, even though flax is a relatively soft thing, if you have it in a bundle, it's tight, it could be hard, and we worry about if the bird bangs into it to become a trefa. But the Gemara clarifies, the high geese are loy chashinon. But if it hit off the sides, meaning it kind of glanced off the side of this bundle, so it didn't just hit the bundle head on, but it hit the side and glanced off. That's not enough of a hard bang that we're worried, so then we would not be concerned about trefa in that case. Continues the Gemara, four lines up from the bottom. Asuraisa cheshinon. Rashi says Asuraisa is chavilo shalkanim, that you have bundles of branches. So that's something pretty tough, and therefore we need to be concerned that the bird might have had risuk evarim. Kisna the daik minaf is lo chashinan. So if you have, before we talked about bundles of flax and we were worried about it, here we're talking about you have freestanding flax that's both been daik minaf. It's daik is they kind of hammer it or smash the flax, and then nuffits is they comb it to kind of get the fibers out. So if it's already been processed in that way, lo chashinan, because it's a soft material, and if the bird bangs into it, we're not concerned that it becomes a trefa. Dayak v'lo nafatz chashinam. But if he, in other words, what happens, why do we bang it before we comb it? Is because we're banging it to break up these hard pieces. So if you have done the banging to break up the hard pieces, so now you have the flax and it's full of hard pieces. So then, chashinam, you have to worry because it's the bird banging into it is banging into a hard surface. The ovid, I'm sorry. Kisses the daik enough is like chashinan. So if you did all the processing, you're not worried. Daik well enough, it's chashinan. But if you banged it and you didn't comb out those hard pieces, we are choshesh. The avid bizri. Now what happens if you took these, Rashi says, you took these bundles of flax once they were processed, so even though they were processed, as Rashi says, afilu daik v'nafetz chashinan mishum kitri de'ispeh. So it's a way that they used to bundle the flax, that it basically tied up the flax. And so once you do a tie, we learned this at the beginning, that if you have a knot is considered a hard surface, and therefore we have to worry that the bird banged into it with force and could be a trefa. Daksa chashinan, daksa loy chashinan. So what is this? So Rashi says, daksa is, na'orah shiboli givolin aninarim in a pishtan, kishmin fitzin also. So this is those same, so before we talked about if you had flax that had been banged and it had the hard pieces still in it, so we said that's a concern. Here we're talking about the actual hard pieces. So if you have a pile of this stuff, then that is a concern. Daktaksa, but if you have daktaksa, you're not chayish. What is that? This is, also a byproduct of the flax production process, but this is actually something that's very soft. So for that, loy chashin, Rashi says, in Yeshem Enakri, if there's a pile, agabe karka on the ground, and ofalein, loy chashin, and lefishi raka, that we don't worry if the bird bangs into it, because that's considered a soft surface, and we don't have to worry that the bird became a trefa. Navra chashinan. So a navra is, sorry, let me just find it. Is siva gadol sabav the column. Okay, so this is talking about there are certain kinds of trees that they used to make rope from, right? So where would the rope come from? Some material. Siv hagadol sabav the column. So you had a date tree, and there would be some kind of a membrane or substance that would grow around the circumference of the date tree. And what would they do? Rashi says miyavshino, so they would dry it. V'nechlok l'ritzuos. And then they would subsequently make it into like strings or fibers. So we say as follows, that navra, that if it's in its hard form, then chashinon, we worry about it. Timchasa loy chashinon. But on the other hand, after Rashi says, lachar shachukula ritzuos, lahar, lahai navra. So once you take once you've dried out that material and put it into fibers such that you're going to make rope, then those fibers are soft, and therefore we're not concerned if the bird bangs into it. We're not concerned about trefa. Kitma niela chashinan loy niela loy chashinan. So if your kitma is like ashes, so if you have ashes that are niela, Rashi says maruket benafa, that you've sifted them. So if you've sifted the ashes, so then we're worried. Why? Because, and we're going to see this as we come up into today's daf, that anything that can become easily compacted, so even if it's soft, ashes are soft, but if you're going to compact them, then they're going to become hard, and then we have to worry if the bird bangs into it. So we're saying as follows, that if you have sifted ashes, so that it's easy for it to become compacted, chashinan, we have to worry. Lo niyala, but if we're talking about, that it has not been sifted, so Rashi says, ein nichbash, that it doesn't get flattened and hard, and therefore we would not have to concern ourselves with it. Okay, top of Numbez Amid Aleph. Continues the Gemara with cases similar to this. Chul hadak loy chashinan, chul hagas chashinan. Chol hadak loy chashinan, chol hagas chashinan. So if you have sand, same idea, that if you have, very small grains of sand. So Rashi says, the mishtrik, they slip, vein and nechbash l'olam, they don't get compacted down because these are very fine grains of sand. Chol hagas chashinam, but actually Rashi doesn't say it's not so much, it's not that it's not fine sand, but he says, avanim gedolah shebo meraskin ha'ov kishenofa aleim. So you have, sometimes, you could have, I think European beaches are this way. The sand, it's like a bunch of, it's rocks. So if you have that kind of sand, then then you have to be concerned, because perhaps if the bird bangs into it, it gets sufficient, jarring that you have to be concerned about risik evarim. Okay. Avak derachim chashinan. That if you have the dust of the road, you have to worry. Why? Because when you have a dirt road, after a while, it gets very hard, because it gets rolled over by cars, animals, people, and it gets hard. Tivna v'avid bazga chashinan. So if you have, tivna is straw, so Rashi says, tevin shachitin usorin. Bazga is a chavila, so you put it into a bundle, so that you have to be concerned, because it is a hard surface and the bird can bang into it. Lo avid bazga, lo chashinan. But if you just have straw, that a pile of straw that hasn't been made into a bundle, so then that's a relatively soft surface, and a bird that bangs into it, we don't need to be concerned. So that if you have wheat and anything like it, meaning that is soft, I'm sorry, that is hard, like wheat is hard, a wheat kernel. Chashinon, we have to be concerned if a bird bangs, flies into a bundle or into a pile of these, wheat kernels. Sari v'chol d'minayu, that if you have, barley, which is considered soft, and anything like it that's soft, we have it written chashinon, but if you look at Masar Sashat, it's low chashinon, that we don't need to worry because unlike wheat, which is very hard, barley is soft, and we're not concerned that the bird is going to have risuke varim. Kol mine kitnios, ein behem mishum risuke varim. That all kitnios are beans or legumes, do not have a concern. Why? Because they are, it's actually not a question of soft so much. Rashi says, that you can't, in other words, beans are gonna shift with each other. They're slippery. So, they're never gonna get compacted down to a point that you have to worry about it. So we say that's true of all beans, levarim and ruvia, except for ruvia. Ruvia is fenugreek. So, interestingly, the Gemara in Brachos discusses that the only way you could eat it to become edible is you have to cook it 7 times. So, probably that was a very hard thing, and maybe that's why in this case, ruvia is an exception from all other forms of legumes. Chimtzi ein bo mishum risuke varim. So if you have chimtzi, Rashi says, pishlish, this is like a pea, which is a round object. So that you don't have to worry about. But chefti yes bo mishum risuke varim. But chefti is what? This is talking about what we would like a chickpea, which is, so it's not like a regular, it's, how is it different? Rashi explains, because it's not fully round. So a pea is round, so it's gonna always roll, versus chickpeas are not round, so therefore they don't have that same rolling effect, and if a bird were to hit it, we have to be concerned that that impact is not gonna be absorbed by the movement of the chickpeas like you would have by a regular pea. Okay, continues the Gemara. Klolo the Milsa. What's the rule that we're dealing with here? There's really two rules, but the Gemara will say one. Kom midi de mishrik ein ba mishum risuk evarim lo mishrik yesh ba mishum risuk evarim. That anything that is slippery, I would add in, or soft, because we had things that weren't slippery but they were soft. So in that case, you're not worried about the animal having risuk evarim. But if it's something that is not slippery, meaning that it can stand firm in its place, and it's something that's hard, then you would be concerned about risuke varim, and that is all of the cases that we've just gone over. Okay, continues the Gemara. We're about 10 lines down. First word on the line. Davuk, Rav Ashi Shari Ameimar Aser. So what's going on here? So Rashi explains that you had like I'm assuming it was like a trap. That they used to use with a sticky substance, glued blaz, and that they would take a board and they would rub on it a sticky substance, and when the bird would land on it, it would be stuck to it. So I guess this was a way of capturing birds. But what are we dealing with here? Where the bird flew onto this trap, and then from its movement or whatever it is, it fell down, and the question is, do we have to worry about risuk evarim? So Rav Ashi says, you don't, and you can just go ahead and shech the bird and eat it. And Amemar says, no, it's usser, meaning that you would have to wait meis leis and then check it to do the bedika. So we say, b'chad gapa de kuliyama lo pligi de shari. So he says, let's understand this machlokas, that if only one wing of the bird got stuck onto this trap, then everyone would agree that it's permitted. Why? Because as the trap is falling down, the bird is flapping its wing, and that wing cushions the fall, and therefore we don't assume that the animal had risuk evarim. Ki pligi, so if they all agree by one, then it's mutter. When do Amemar and Rav Ashi argue? Is betray gapi. When both wings are stuck to this glue board. Manda asar amar loch hechinekom. So he says, the one who says that this bird is asar, you have to worry about risuk evarim, is because if the bird is missing, if both its wings are incapacitated, how do you expect it to do anything? So it's like a dead weight. And therefore you have to be concerned like any animal that falls. Umandashari, but according to Rav Ashi, who says that it's mutter, Amarloch, he'll say, after the nekoma ikva the gapi, that it's possible that the bird will lift itself with the ikve digapi is the kind of the roots of the, I don't know if the root is the right word, but the part of the wing that's not the feathers. Rashi says, "B'miksas hunosi etasman b'ikve hagapayim," that a little bit he can lift himself with the v'hu rosh hakanaf makom shechotun haknaf min ha'evos. So he says that this is where it's the top of the wing, meaning closer to the body of the bird. But basically, even when its wings are stuck to the glue, it can move itself in a way that will cushion the fall. When this board falls. Okay, so that's one version of the Gemara that everyone agrees if one wing is free, that's enough. But by two, they argue. V'ikadami, the others who say, betray gapi kuli amalo pligi da'asar. That it's the other way around. That if both wings are attached, are glued to this board, so then the bird can't go anywhere. So therefore, when it falls, it's a regular fall and you would have to be concerned. Ki pligi, when do they argue? B'chad gapo. When only one wing is stuck to this board, Mandashari, so Rav Ashi says that it's mutter, you could shech the bird right away, would tell you, Amalach, would tell you, Efshir, the parach b'chad gapa, that maybe it is capable for it to flap its free wing, and therefore it'll cushion the fall, and we're not worried about Risa Gevara. Manda Asar, according to Amemar, who says that this bird has to be concerned about Risa Gevarim, would say, Kivin the Baha'i lo mati parach, Baha'i nami lo mati parach. He understands the wings to flap as a pair. So if this one is glued to the board, the other one is not going to be functional, and therefore the bird's not going to be able to cushion the fall, and we have to be concerned about Risa Gevarim. The Hochasa, the halacha is, betray gapi asir, b'chad gapo shari. That, it doesn't really tell us which version is right, but in other words, the halacha is that if both wings of the bird are glued to this board, so then that it can't move itself; it's a dead weight, and you have to be concerned about risa gevarim. If only one wing is glued to the board, then presumably it can flap its other wing and cushion the fall. Okay. So now, moving on to the next, we've been going through, obviously, in Elu Trefus, through all of the Trefus that were listed in the first Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis. And so now, we're going to the next one, which is Nishtabru Rov Tzalosel. That if it broke the majority of its ribs. By the way, Rashi says something interesting. I really shouldn't do this, but we'll just do it very quickly. Around the middle, you see there's a long Rashi. Rashi just says, Kasa Behelchus Gedolos. That the Nalachas Gedolos has written, called Hechad the Bay Bedika, Kagon the Fulo Shvura Drusa, the Miskashri Bedika. So he says, all this, the idea that we have is that if the animal waits 24 hours, then as long as it didn't walk, we still need to check it. He says, all these checking, Hanimili Bedoros Kamai. These were in the earlier generations, Avi Bekiel Lemivdak, because they knew how to check. Avil Anan, but us, nowadays, this is Rashi speaking, it's Nalachas Gedolos speaking, he says, Lebekinan, so he says, but we're not experts, and therefore we can't rely on ourselves. So basically, if you have an animal that you would have to be concerned about risuk evarim, where it fell and it didn't walk, so then we don't do the checking. Says Allah Chas Gadol. Says Rashi v'linira, but to me, I don't agree. The ain lo ledayin al mashein of rose, that a judge has only what his eyes can see. He can make a judgment based on what's in front of him. Umutr lismochalav, and you could rely on that judge based on what he knows and what he sees, even if he's not as expert as the earlier generations. Dixiv, because it's written in the pasuk, v'al shofet asher yia bayam mahem. The idea that you go to whichever shofet, whichever judge is there in that time, and that's why anyone could paskin. Abahu yizar yafel lahavi lefanim kol atabachim v'kol abekiim bedaver. He says, but yet he shouldn't just rely on himself. He should bring all the experts and all the master butchers. Ki hechdi namtaya sheyavim mechshira. That they should come out when it's kosher, but that they should make a proper decision. So interesting thing that Rashi brings there. Okay, continues the Gemara. If you broke most of the ribs, Tanu Rabbanan, second to last thin line, Elu Hain Rov Tzalos. What does it mean that you broke broke the majority of the ribs? Shesh Mikan v'Shesh Mikan. Oh, Achas Esrei Mikan v'Achas Mikan. either 6 on this side and 6 on the other side, or 11 on this side and 1 on the other side. What's he basically saying? He's saying as long as there's 12 broken ribs, that's considered the majority of the ribs. Now, what's going on here? We're going to see in the Gemara in a minute, but we may as well discuss it right now. So they're actually in an animal, the large animals have 13 ribs on each side. But the Gemara is dealing with the fact, we're going to see that only ribs that have a bone marrow in them, or a significant amount of bone marrow in them, are considered ribs for this purpose. So of that, there's 22, 11 on each side. So if the Mishnah says that if the majority of the ribs are broken, that is considered a trefa, so then what's a majority of 22? Would be 12, because 11 would be only half, so you need 12 to get to a majority. So basically what he's saying is any combination you have, 6 and 6, 11 and 1, 10 and 2, 9 and 3, it doesn't matter. As long as you have 12 broken ribs, that is the trefa of our Mishnah. Amar Zeira, Zeiri says, Umechetzin Kapi Shedra. So if you think about it, we've all been looking at pictures of animals. The spine goes across the top of the back of the animal, and the ribs come down off of the spine. So the idea here is the Zeiri is telling you that when is it significant if a rib gets broken? Only if it gets broken from the midpoint and up, meaning heading toward the sedra, toward the spine. But if it breaks lower down, then that's not significant, and even if more than 12 would break, or 12 or more would break, that would not be considered a trefa. So this is what I told you before, but we needed to learn it before to understand why it's only 12 and not 14, is that we're only talking about the large ribs that have moach, we normally think of as brains, but it's marrow. Okay, so Amar Ula. Ula says, Ben Zakkai says, so now we're gonna shift a little bit and we're gonna see that there's, somewhat differences. Well, not somewhat, there are differences between whether the rib, broke, which is what we were dealing with until now, versus if the rib got, displaced from the spine. So he says as follows. Ula says in the name of Ben Zakkai, it's interesting, Rashi had a version, Bar Zakkai, and he says, I don't know who that is, but our version of the Gemara is Ben Zakkai. So Nekru Berov Tzad Echad, Nishtabru Berov Shnei Tzadim. So he says as follows, that the measures are different for if it's been displaced from the spine, and we're going to see exactly what that means, that it's enough to have the majority of one side. Now we said, one side is 11 relevant ribs, so therefore you would need 6. So in other words, and again, it doesn't matter which side it's on. It could be 3 and 3. It's just a way of saying a majority of 11 is 6. That's if they were displaced. But if they were broken, as we learned before, berov shnei tzadim, then you need a majority of both sides. Both sides is 22, and therefore you would need 12 to achieve a majority. Rabbi Yochanan says, bein nekru, bein nishtabru, berov shnei tzadim. It doesn't matter whether it was displaced from the spine, whether it was cracked as a rib, in either instance, you need 12 for that to become a trefa. So Rabbi Yochanan argues on Ben Zakkai. Okay, Amar Rav. Rav says as follows: Nekra tzala v'chulya imo trefa. So if you have a rib that was uprooted, it was detached at some level, and v'chulya imo, and the chulya is like the vertebrae. So what would happen is, we're gonna see actually in more detail, but the way the animal was structured was there was like a hole, an indentation, and the rib would have like a ball and a joint, and the ball would go into the joint. But that structure where that holds the ball of the rib is one of the vertebrae. So what Rav says is that if you have a rib that gets uprooted, and the vertebrae comes with it, it's a trefa. Okay, so that's psak one of, that's Rav's psak. Now because we're gonna get into this in great detail. Amrile Rav Kahana Rav Asi l'Rav. So Rav Kahana Rav Asi subsequently said to Rav as follows. They said, Nekra tzela mikan, v'tzela mikan, that if you have a rib on both sides got uprooted, v'chulya kayemes, and the vertebrae is still intact. Mahu, what's the halacha? So basically, he was asking if you have two, or on his face, what they were asking is if you have two ribs, the two ribs that are opposite one another, what's the halacha if they get uprooted, not broken? So Amar Luhu, he said to them, Gistera kamrisu, you're asking me a case of a gistera. What is gistera? We encountered this before, but gistera would basically meaning like an animal that's sliced in half. So what he's saying is, if you have an animal that's missing the ribs on both sides, you know, then that is like an animal sliced in half. And in fact, Rashi points out that based on the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph in earlier in Chulin, that this would be a nevela. So basically, Rav answered them. He said, what kind of question is that? Not only is that a trefa, it's a nevela. The difference between trefa and nevela, obviously being nevela, has tumah associated with it, and it's more chamer. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, but wait a second. V'ha Rav nami gistra kamar. So he says, but Rav's case, because what was Rav's case? Rav said his halacha, that if you have one rib that got uprooted plus its vertebrae, so then Rav said that's a trefa. Now the question is, if you remove a rib and a vertebrae, what happens? I don't know what this vertebrae, if that's a singular, whatever it is. If, what is it? Whatever. So if the vertebrae disappeared with one of the ribs, what's going to happen to the rib on the other side? It's going to fall because there's nothing holding it up. It's not attached to the spine anymore. So the Gemara's question was, why, Rav, did you say back to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi say that if ribs on both sides are missing, it's a gistra, it's an animal cut in half, and it's an nevela? You yourself, the case where you said where the one rib comes out with the vertebrae, obviously the other rib falls out, and that's even worse than Rav Asi and Rav Kahana's case because there's no vertebrae there anymore. So why did you say trefa, but yet you said to them that it's a nevela? So the Gemara says, ki kama Rav, tsela below chuya. So it says, no. When Rav said, Rav's case was talking about, where he said it's a trefa, is where one rib gets uprooted, but not the vertebrae. So the Gemara says, wait a second. He said a rib and a vertebrae. So how could you say it's not talking about no vertebrae? Mind you, also, we would have a different problem because then it's, well, we'll see later whether there's such an opinion. But then, you know, it would just be one rib missing, and he's saying that that makes a trefa. So the Gemara says, no, I'll explain to you what Rav meant when he said the rib and the vertebrae that makes it only a trefa, not an avela, is tzela v'chati chuya. That if you have the rib came out, became dislocated, and a piece of the vertebra also came out with it. So says Rav, in that case, it's a trefa. But if you would have the case of Asi and that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were asking him was a case where we consider an animal cut in half and it's going to be an avela. We'll see in a minute exactly what case they were asking him. So Rav's halacha that he says is if you have a rib with a little piece of the vertebra that gets dislodged, that's a trefa. Not an avela, a trefa. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that's the case Rav's talking about, Mechlal de Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, tzela belochul ya amri. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, based on, if Rav's halacha is that a rib with a little bit of vertebra makes it a trefa, right? So then, what did it have to be in order for him to tell them that it was gistra, that the animal was cut in half? It can't be that a piece of the chulyo was missing, a piece of the vertebrae, because that Rav already paskin is just a case of trefa. So when he said it's nevela, it must have been talking about a case where there was no vertebrae left there, right? So that's the case. That's the case that Rav said back to them. What are you asking me? That's a nevela because the animal is essentially split in half because its spine is missing one of its vertebrae and the ribs that are connected to it. So, but the Gemara says, but if that's so, V'ha'amar Ula said, Ben Zakkai says, Nekru, Berov, Tzadechod, Nishtaber, Berov, Shneit Stadim. Ula was the one who said, and we're going to see, Rabbi Yochanan said even more than Ula, but we'll get to him in a minute. Ula said that if you have uprooted ribs, then as long as you have the majority of one side, that's six, then that's considered a trefa. The idea being that it requires six ribs to be uprooted. But in other words, and he doesn't distinguish when he says six whether they're across from each other or not. So presumably it covers even where they're across from each other. And so you see that according to Ula, you have to get up to six. And it sounds like Rav Asi and Rav Kahana were asking the question that there were just two opposite from each other. The Gemara says, "Amar lecha hasam zeh shelo kenegazeh, hachazeh kenegazeh." He says, "No, you're assuming that when Ula said his halacha that you need six, it was even if they're across from each other. Maybe Ula only said it if they're alternating. You have one." one missing, then the other side, then this side, then the other side. In other words, you never have two across from each other, which was the case that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were asking Rav. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Vahamar Rav Yochanan, so fine, let's move beyond Ula. But we had a second opinion. Rav Yochanan said, Barov Shneit Stadim, I'm sorry, that he said, even when a rib is uprooted, it only becomes a trefa if you're missing the majority of both sides, which is how many? Which is 12. It says, Uberov Shneit Stadim, Yefshir Dolai Kami Chayed Minai Zek Kenegizeh. So he says, it's impossible, it's impossible, basically what the way the Gemara is phrased is saying, if you remove all 11 of one side, you still need a 12th, and it's obviously going to be a cross from at least one of them, right? Another way of saying that, it's impossible if you have 12 dislodged ribs to not have two, at least two that are across from each other. So the Gemara says, no, wait a second, there's a difference in the what it means to be dislodged. Hasam buchna b'lo asisa, hacha buchna v'asisa. So he says as follows, that the spine, as I was saying before, has this ball and socket construction. So the idea is that when a Ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yochanan say that you need 6 or 12 ribs to be dislodged in order for it to become a trefa, is talking about where the ball got pulled out of the socket, but it didn't break the socket. The socket's still there. Versus when you have Rav Asi and Rav Kahana, we're asking Rav, was talking about a case where some but not all of the vertebra came with it. So the Gemara asked a question. He says, wait a second. If that's the case that they were asking, Ihochi, Hainu de Rav. So he says, but wait a second. Why would they ask Rav that halacha? Rav had just paskin. That if you have a rib that gets dislodged, and we proved that it couldn't be that the entire vertebra came out, because then it would be an avela, not a trefa. So we decided that Rav was talking about a case where the rib got dislodged with a piece of the vertebra. So, right? So then therefore, the question is, if we're saying that Rav Asi and Rav Kahana's question is where a little bit of the ball and socket came out, then that's the same question as Rav. So the Gemara says, okay, we assumed that they knew what Rav had paskin, because they were asking Rav as a follow-up. But as it turns out, Lushmi Aluhu de Rav. They hadn't heard Rav's halacha. So therefore, they were asking Rav blank, and they were really asking Rav the same question that he already said. They were saying, if you have two ribs across from each other, but where a piece of the vertebra came off, what's the halacha, right? So, and they had not heard that Rav said that that's a trefa. So the Gemara says, wait a second. But if that's what's happening here, that Rav Asi and Rav Kahana did not know the halacha of Rav, and they were just asking him the same case that he had said, v'libo minei k'derav. So he says, then they should have asked the same question as Rav. What does that mean? Rav's case was where you had one rib that got dislodged with a piece of the vertebra. So if they didn't even know that halacha, because they hadn't heard the halacha of Rav, why would they be asking the question where you have two across from each other that took out a piece of the vertebra? Like, in other words, just ask the regular case of Rav. So the Gemara says, and we encountered this, if you recall, in Gemara in Zvachim, that this idea, he says, Savri libay mine chada de parish lantarti. We wanted to ask him one question that would give us the halacha in two cases. So that's why we crafted the question this way. So if we only asked him one, which means the case that Rav had paskined on, where they had one rib and a little bit of the chulya had come out, so we would know the halacha in both cases. In other words, if we asked him by where one rib was dislodged with a bit of the chulya, and he said it's a trefa, then obviously if two ribs are dislodged, it's for sure a trefa, right? So that case wouldn't be a problem. But if he said to us that it's kosher, akati tarta kami boilon, we're left with the question, what happens if it's two? Because in other words, if they asked Rav, what happens if one rib gets dislodged with a piece of the vertebrae, and he said it's kosher, so then he would now have a follow-up question, what about two? So they wanted to know the answer to both. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Yahachi, if so, hashanami de kaboy mine tarti. So he says, you're not solving your problem. You're gonna deal with the same issue. That if you ask it your way, where you ask, what happens if you have two ribs and a little bit of the vertebra, what's the halacha? You may or may not find out the answer to both two and one. Why? Hanicha yamrlu kshero kosheken chada. So he says, all right, so if he tells you that when you have two ribs dislodged and a little bit of the vertebrae, it's kosher, so it's kosher, then for sure, it's not a trefa, then for sure, if just one rib and a little piece of the vertebrae was dislodged, then for sure, it would also be kosher. Because if two is kosher, one would be. But v'yamrlu trefa, but if he were to say to you trefa, then akati chado mibayluhu. You're going to be left with the question, what happens if it's one? Because if you ask him, what happens when you have two ribs dislodged with a little bit of the vertebrae and you say it's kosher, you say it's trefa, so then the question is, okay, so I get it that if two are dislodged, it's trefa, but what about if one? So they said you're not helping yourself in the way you're asking him the question, because either way, you're left off with a possibility that you won't know the answer to both your questions. So the Gemara says, Savri, this is what they thought, and this we saw in the Zvach Maso, Imkein Mirtach Karasach. So he says that what would happen? They were not only basing it on the question they were asking him and what they could understand from it, but they figured the way that he would answer them would tell them something. So he says that as follows, that what were we worried about? What case would we not know? If we asked him two and he said trefa, we wouldn't know if it's one, right? So the Gemara is saying as follows, but here they figured we're going to watch very closely when he answers. So he says, So he says as follows. If Rav holds, which they didn't know what Rav holds by one, right? If Rav holds by one, it's a trefa, and we're coming and asking him what's the halacha by two, he's going to be annoyed at us because he's going to say, why are you asking me about two? Even one would be a trefa, right? So what did we say? If he says kosher by two, we know one is kosher. And if he says trefa by two, so then we have to watch how does he respond. If he responds angrily, it shows us that we asked a stupid question because even one is a trefa. But if he responds calmly, he says that's trefa, so then you would figure out that if there was only one, that must be a case where it's kosher because that's why Rav didn't get annoyed that we asked him a step removed question. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, nice theory. But in fact, we know that Rav holds that one rib, because they had not heard Rav's halacha, but Rav holds one rib with a little bit of vertebrae is a trefa, and what was supposed to happen? He was supposed to get angry. But the Gemara says, we didn't hear that he got angry at them. So their plan was a terrible plan, because they assumed he would get angry, and he didn't, even though he held that way. So the Gemara says, hold on, remember what he said. Given the kamerlu gistra kamrisu hainu rischei. So if you remember, how did Rav answer the question? They asked, what happens if you have two ribs with a little bit of the chulya missing? And he said, that's a nevela. You cut the animal in half. They said that was his angry answer. He was like, that's a stupid question because even one rib with a little bit of chulya would be a trefa. Okay. Continues the Gemara three lines from the bottom. Amar Rababar, Rav Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel. So we have a different opinion here, which is, at least according to the way Rashi learns, nekra tzela meikara, that if you have a rib that gets removed from its source, so removed from the spine, we're going to talk about a few cases, but this is the case that's relevant to us. We're talking about one rib that gets displaced. We're going to continue. We'll go goles shenech besa baruba, or if you have a skull that got banged up, exactly how is a big machlokes, but meaning how banged up it is, but you have a banged up skull. Ubasar achofes rova keres berubo, that, or if you have the meat that covers the majority of the keres, we've talked many times about the keres is that first thing when the animal takes in the food till it chews its cud and whatever comes back up, but that's the first thing, that's the keres. So he says, the meat that covers the keres, if it gets ruined in some fashion on its majority, so then all three of these things are a trefa. A single dislodged rib, a smashed skull in its majority, or that meat that covers the keres in its majority. In all those cases, it's trefa. So he said in one of Shmuel's things was nekra tzela meikara trefa. Ramino, I'll ask you, how could, so we're understanding that Shmuel is now saying a new halacha. Shmuel's saying halacha that if, Shmuel's saying a new halacha that if you have one rib dislodged, that's a problem. But now the Gemara is going to ask, well, wait a second, I have a problem from Shmuel himself. Because we say as follows, Kama chisaram besedra, we actually encountered this Gemara earlier, but it's a Mishnah in Oilos, which talks about the following, that we know that a mace is metame not only b'mago b'masa, with touching or carrying, but also with oel. Oel is if either the mace is on top of someone, the person is on top of the mace, or they're under the same roof. Now, there's a difference between maga and masa versus oel. Why? Because maga masa is ilu. It says etzem kisora, that if you have a bone, a fragment of bone, even the size of a barley, a piece of barley, then that's going to be metame. But in order for oel to work, it has to be either where, or if it's only bones, it has to be. There's a variety of different things. It can be either the skull or the spine. If they're complete, is, and that spine is the important part, then it's metame tumas oel. Or if it has the majority of its bones of the animal generally, or if it has a majority of the skeleton structure, meaning not the ancillary bones, but those are four different ways that the animal, a mace is going to be, we're talking about a human being here, that a mace is going to be metame betumas oel. But what do you see? You see that, the requirement is that the spine be complete. So the question is, what makes an incomplete spine that is no longer metame? So we say as follows, kama chisarim besedra, how much does have to be missing from the sedra that you're going to say that it's not going to, thank you, that it's not going to cause toma? Beshamay amr shtecho, yosu beisil amr chul yachas. Beshamay says, if it's missing two vertebrae, it's no longer considered a whole spine, and there's not going to be tumas oel. But if it's missing one, it's still going to have tumas oel. But as Hillel and Meisel says, chol yachas, as long as one vertebra is missing, then the tumas oel is there. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Remember, we're talking about Shmuel now. V'chein l'treifa. He said, and that same halacha is true by treifa, that if Beis Shammai would hold two need to be missing, and Beis Hillel will hold as long as one is missing, that it's a treifa. So the Gemara says, so he says, ahacha b'tzela b'lachuya, hasam chuya b'latzela. So he say as follows, no, that there's a difference, that in one case, when Shmuel was saying that even one is enough. He was saying that's where the rib comes out itself. Versus here, and as without, so in other words, when Shmuel was saying that a single rib being dislodged makes it a trefa, is even a single rib without any part of the vertebra. But where we were talking about how much makes a sedra complete, we're talking about vertebrae without ribs. So we're saying that they're talking about two different things. Shmuel's halacha has to do with dislodged ribs, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about the construction of a spine. How much of a spine makes it a trefa? But it's a spine issue that they're arguing, not a rib issue. So the Gemara says, Bishlam atzela below chul yamishkachasla. So he says, okay, you've set up a case where you could have a missing rib without affecting the vertebra. That's a normal case where a rib gets dislodged. But elachulya belotzela, hechemishkachasla. How do you ever have a missing vertebrae without having missing ribs? Obviously, if the vertebrae falls out, then the ribs that are attached to it are also going to fall out. So that's not a reasonable case. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. Bashile kapli. So kapli is like something doubled. It's talking about like the back of the animal. So it's basically the idea is that if you've looked at the picture of the animal, you see the vertebrae go, the spine goes all the way back. You have a bunch of ribs coming off. And then at the end, the vertebrae continues, right? And there's no ribs attached to it. So when we say that they're talking about a chulya being removed and that you need two to be removed in order to make it a trefa, is talking about vertebrae that have no ribs attached to them. But obviously, if it have a rib attached to them, we're saying, according to Shmuel, that as soon as one rib drops out, then it's going to be a trefa anyway before you get to the second chulya. So now, the Gemara asks, Maskevla Rabbi Oshaya, Stam, he asks a question on Shmuel. You take the halacha that's written by Tumas Oel Mace, and you apply it to trefa. So he says, but one second, The generally speaking, Beis Hillel is more mekel. Beis Shammai is more that generally goes with the chumrah. There are exceptions, so we discuss this in Maseches Edyos where we list all these things. So the question is as follows: when they were arguing by Tumas Meis, Beishamai was the one who was machmer, because Beishamai was saying until you have two vertebrae missing, the tumah comes. And Beis Hillel says, no, as soon as one vertebrae is missing, the tumah does not happen. So therefore, Beis Hillel is being mekel, and Beis Shammai is being machmer. But if you then do what Shmuel did and you apply it to treifa, so it turns out the opposite. Because what's happening? That Beis Shammai is saying that it's not a treifa until you remove two vertebrae, And Beis Hillel is saying, as soon as you remove one, it is a treifa. So what do you see? You see that by Shmuel extending it from Tumas Ol Meis to the case of treifa, you're finding an instance where Beis Hillel is more machmer than Beis Shammai, and yet it's not listed in the Mishnah in Edyas. So Amalei Rav would tell you, or Amalei Rava, ki itchil le'inyan tumah itchil the havilu Beis Shammai l'chumer. He says, hold on a second. You're right. By extending the halacha of what they argue by Tumas Ol Meis to treifa, you're creating a scenario where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are switched in who's machmer and who's mekel. But at the end of the day, this is really about Tumas Ol Meis, and he just extended it. So the Mishnah in Edyas is not going to list that, because the question that they were dealing with was a tumah question where Beis Shammai is machmer and Beis Hillel is mekel. Okay, says the Gemara, the golgola shenechbisa beruba. So we said if you had a skull that was smashed in somewhat in its majority, by Reb Yirmiya, rov gova or rov hekefa teku. When you say that the majority of the skull is smashed, is it the majority in the height of the skull, or is it in the circumference of the skull? And Rashi says the circumference is obviously going to be bigger than the height. Says the Gemara, teku. We don't know. So if you had this wall of meat that's covering the keres, we say if a majority of that is ripped and it's destroyed in its majority, we'll see what that means in a minute, then that's a case of treifa. So by Ravashi, Ravashi af, Barov Karua, Barov Natol. So he says, when it says that half of it is a problem, that a majority of this piece of meat is a problem, is it talking about where the majority of the piece of meat got ripped, or does it have to be a case where the majority of the piece of meat was taken away and is missing or detached? So the Gemara says, Tishad Lehmi Zitanan. Why not learn it from our Mishnah, which said, Keres HaPanimis Shenikva Oshenikra Rov Achitzona. So remember, we were dealing with this a couple days ago, that what is the inner Keres, the Keres Panimis, right? So our Mishnah said that if the Keres Panimis gets a little hole, it's a treifa. But if the outer Keres needs to be ripped, Va'amri b'marava m'shmed Rav Yosi b'Rav Chanina, when we learned 2 days ago that in Marava they said the name of Rav Yosi b'Rav Chanina, kol ha-keres kulo zuhi keres ha-pnimi, so that the entire keres is the keres ha-pnimi, ve'ezu keres ha-chitzona, basar ha-chofes rova kerem. So he says, and so what happened? According to the Marava, the keres ha-pnimis is the entire keres, right? The rumen. So then what's left to be the keres hachitzona? It has to be the meat that covers it. So you see, our Mishnah said with the meat that covers it, which is the outside, it has to be ripped. It doesn't have to be taken. So you see that that's the more chumer thing. To say that it only becomes treifa when it's taken away, that's more mekel. So we're saying, no, it only has to be ripped, which you see from our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, nice try. Midiu time el Shmuel. So he said, Yaakov ben Achmini, Yom Shmuel. Rav Yaakov ben Achmini, Yom Shmuel, Makom Shein Bo Milas. So he says as follows. He says, nice try, but here's the problem. You're asking me, you're coming to tell me a proof to Shmuel about where the entire thing is ripped, that it has to be ripped and not taken away. But you're basing that on saying that our Mishnah, based on what the B'nai Marava said, is talking about this piece of meat when it talks about the Keres Hachitzona. But there's a problem here, because Shmuel himself gave a different view 2 days ago on Daf Nun about what is the Keres HaPnimis and the Keres Hachitzona. And he said what? He said that the Keres, that the area where it does not have Milas, I wasn't here when the Rav was here, but it depends. It's either like a hairy thing in the esophagus, which is problematic, or it's the beginning of the Keres, which has more like hair and less like wool. But in any event, that was Shmuel's definition of the Keres Panimis, Keres Chitzonis. So you can't try to bring a raya to Shmuel from the Mishnah using a source that Shmuel disagrees with. So therefore, our Mishnah is no raya to the question that was being asked here, and so we don't have an answer according to Shmuel whether it needs to be ripped in its majority or it needs to be taken in its majority. Okay, let's just go very quickly. Udrusas Hazev, that we said in the Mishnah that if a wolf had stuck his claws into to rip an animal, that we talked about the fact that that created a poison and therefore the treifa. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. Behema min hazev lamaylo ubeofos min hanetzel lamaylo. So he says as follows, that by a behema, it's telling you anything that's the size of a wolf or larger, it can make an animal treifa. And if it's, presumably if it's smaller, it can't. And by ofos, anything from a netz we had in the Mishnah is some kind of a hawk or some kind of predator bird, that anything that's that size or bigger, is what can make a treifa. If you have a smaller bird, it's not going to be able to make a treifa. Now the Gemara says, "Lumiyute mai." What's he coming to exclude? So ilay malumiyute chasul. So maybe you'll tell me that what was Rabbi Yehuda Amarav coming to add? We says with a behemoth, it's anything from a wolf and higher. So maybe what he was coming to say is a wolf and higher makes it into a treifa. But if it will be a smaller thing than a wolf, for example, a cat, so then it can make it a treifa. But the Gemara says, "Wait a second." But Tanina, we learned as follows: the juice is azev, that that our Mishnah already told us that, because obviously it was coming to tell us that a zev and bigger can make a treifa. So why do you, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, need to come and tell me that anything larger than a wolf? The Gemara says, "V'chitema hakamashmalan the zev begasa nami daris." So he says, "Wait a second. Maybe you'll tell me that the Mishnah didn't come to say zev to exclude, tell me a wolf to exclude a cat. Why did it say to? Why did it say to? Why did it say?" A wolf is to tell you that a wolf, according to the Tanakhama, can claw any other animal, even a large animal like a cow. Now, why would we have to say this? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that no, a wolf is not large enough to do a cow. You need like a lion, right? So maybe that's why it said wolf was to tell you a wolf is enough according to the Tanakhama. The Gemara says, but wait a second, Mahatanam, we learned that I'm sure Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yehuda says Drusha Zev Bedako Drusha Ri Begasa, that you need a zev works for a small animal and only a lion works for a big animal. So, and the way we're understanding now is Rabbi Yehuda was coming to explain the Tanakhama. So if you're saying that the reason the Tanakhama said the size of a wolf is to tell you a wolf and larger, yes, can make a treifa, but a cat can't, but then what did the Mishnah told us? Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda Amarav? So if you're going to say that the Mishnah was coming to tell you that a wolf can do even a large animal like a cow, but that's not true because Rabbi Yehuda clarifies the opinion of Tanakhama and tells you that a wolf cannot do that. So the Gemara says, "V'chitem Rabbi Yehuda miflik palik." So maybe you'll tell me that. Wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda was coming to argue. The Tanakhama held that a wolf could do anything, including a cow. And to that, Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, "No, it can only do smaller animals." But the Gemara says, "And then we're fine because then the purpose of mentioning the wolf was to tell you that a wolf can attack a cow, but it's not telling you that a cat cannot." And that's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav coming to tell you. The Gemara says, "But wait a second, you can't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing." Rabbi Yamin Yafes Amar Rabbi Law. Rabbi Yamin Yafes has the name of Rabbi Law. That Lo Bar Rabbi Yehuda El Afarish Tevei Chachamim. That, no, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing. So if Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing, so then he's clarifying that a wolf can only do a smaller animal. So if so, what would be the purpose of mentioning a wolf? To exclude a cat. If the purpose is to exclude a cat, then what did I need Rabbi Yehuda Amarav? I already know from the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no. Gavra gavra karamis. You're asking me one or another. Rabbi Yam ben Yafes says that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing. Rav could hold he is arguing. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Amarav is coming to tell you that lest you think that that the Mishnah's purpose of mentioning a zev is to tell you that a zev can attack an animal, even a cow. So I'm coming to tell you a zev can, but a cat cannot. Quickly, the Gemara says, "Ibay sema leolam lemute chasul," that even the Mishnah was coming to exclude a chasul, because the first answer says the Mishnah is not talking about a chasul, it's talking about the ability of a zev to attack a cow. He says maybe it is coming even to exclude a cat. Ma'od etema orcha de milso katani, why did it say wolf? It wasn't to exclude a cat, it was just because the normal case of an animal that attacks other animals is a wolf. So therefore, Kamash Malon, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, came to tell us something which we really already knew from the Mishnah, but you might have thought the Mishnah was just saying a regular case. So therefore, he came to clarify the reason the Mishnah says Ze'ev is not just because that's a regular case, but it's coming to tell you Ze'ev and larger, yes, can attack a cow, but something smaller than that cannot. Why don't we start tomorrow at 8 o'clock so that we can try and cover a little bit. I will note that I did a daf. It just, we started back on the knowledge.
Rabosai, they need to prove here tomorrow.